As you know, last week we started a series called Just Two, and this is based on the two commandments that Jesus said are the most important. It's found in Mark chapter 12, verse 29, and the first one, Angie, could you, thank you, and it says, the most important one, Jesus answered, is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. In another place, Jesus said, and all, between these two commandments, says all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So basically, this is it. If you want to know, if you ever say, okay, God, how do you want me to serve you? How do you want me to love you? There it is. You just, those two verses, very simple. You know, God is not complicated. He's all-knowing and all-wise and everything, but he's not complicated. Living a Christian life is not complicated. When we start making it complicated, we have just stepped out of basically faith in the realm of grace and are moving into works and trying to please God in ways that we don't need to do all that. This word to love God means to basically to welcome him or to be fond of him. And it's more hosting him. It's saying, God, come, I'm going to host you. How many of you have ever hosted somebody? Ever had somebody over or something? How many have ever been someplace where somebody hosted? Isn't it nice to feel welcome or to feel like they really think about you? Is that like, oh, come in and they just, you ever, hopefully you never have, been someplace and they just ignore you? They don't care about it. They ever ask you anything. I mean, you know, even going out to eat, you could tell the giftings of somebody who's a waiter, waitress, who really has that, and somebody that, well, this is a job for a moment, and you need to go do something else. I mean, it's just, and so that's the same thing with God, that sense of hosting him and welcoming him and be considerate of him in the midst of all that. Have you ever had something that was like right in front of your face, you just couldn't see it? You ever had that? A week ago from this last Saturday, I got up and I went over to Anytime Fitness, and I walked in. Of course, I had to walk over and see what they're doing with the new Penn Station sub place. So I was looking all in there and checking that out. And then I went over to the Anytime Fitness, and I was going to go in, and my key wouldn't work. So I thought, oh, great, you know. So it's the right key. It's a scan key. And so we got it fixed later that day. So I went, and whenever I go to Anytime Fitness, I usually go, Angie, can you flip those? Things that you might see that's obvious before I finish that story. That actually on top there is actually a moth, the one on top. Now, you see, this is so obvious. And what's the next one there, Angie? I think you see the owl in the midst of that. I mean, things that are just obvious to us in the next one. Do you see the guy standing there beside her? Uh-huh. These are things that are just so obvious to us. And I usually when I go to Anytime Fitness, I take out my driver's license. I don't know, this is something I do. And I take it with me. Just in case something happens to me inside there, I want to know who it is that whatever happened to. You know, so I always carry it with me. And so I'm in there, and I couldn't get in, so I just left. And I don't know if you remember a week ago Saturday how bad it was. It was terrible. Wind blowing. We had all four seasons. Well, not four. We had three seasons in one day. This is crazy. And so I went home, and I went in there, and I just started getting ready for the day. And I started feeling I couldn't find my driver's license. I thought, okay, all right, where is that driver's license? I thought, I knew I put it in my pocket. I remember vaguely in my mind and my memory feeling it in my jacket when I went in. So I thought, oh, my, that's not something you want to lose, you know. So I went back over to Anytime Fitness, looked all around, parking lot stuff, didn't see it. Well, so then went back home, went to an art show out the River Valley because Grace was doing something out there. Went back to Anytime Fitness again, looked all over because it was real windy, looked in the trailer parking lot over there because I thought it could have blown over there. I went home, I looked through everything, went through all the clothes, everything. I went, tried to retrace my tracks. Now, this is going on, this is about an hour or so of driving and going around, probably an hour and a half of going, went all through everything. Finally thought, oh, I just do not know, and I lost it. So I called the BMV, and they said, well, yeah, you can come back up. You can get a new one. So I stepped in there, and I thought, there's no way I am waiting here today, because it was the most people I've ever seen in my life there. I mean, it was unbelievable. Saturday morning, I mean, it was all the way through, people out the door, out in the hallway there. I thought, I'll wait till Monday. I said, I'll drive safe. I'll wait till Monday. So anyways, so then I go back home. I look through everything again. Look through the car. You know, Lois said, but look through the car. It's got to be in the car. I said, I looked through that car. I took everything. I took everything out. Could not find it anywhere. So, of course, you know, then you're getting to think, okay, identity theft. So I did go online, and because I had a free one on there, so I went ahead and filled that out just in case. So I did all this stuff. I just could not find this driver's license anywhere. So then Lois, I was working on the computer in our office at home, and Lois comes in. She comes in. That's my wife, Lois, if you didn't know. She comes in, stands at the door. She's just sitting there talking, and she looks over. She goes, do you see what I see? Now, this is it. This is, do you see what I see? That's where she looked. Can you see the driver's license? On top of the box, the red box there, the puzzle box? Yeah, right. All right. Well, let me tell you why I shared the story. Because I went into that room. That's where the computer, I went into that room 5 times. I know. 5 times. So those jackets, I looked through those jackets. I looked under that dresser. I looked right there just on the corner. There's a pair of gloves. I picked up the pair of gloves. I looked through all there. I did not see that driver's license. Do you know why I did not see that driver's license? Because I knew that driver's license was not there. I knew that I did not put that driver's license on top of that box. It could not be there because that is not where I put my driver's license. I put it in my pocket. I knew that there's no way it could be there. I would never have found that. By grace of God, probably someday I would have, or somebody was saying it, but I knew. But you know, the illustration there is that we can be that same way toward God. That we know there's no way God could do this in our life. There's no way he is like this. There's no way, you know, we just determine in our mind that that's just the way it is. Right there before us, something very important to us that we block out. I mean, I'm this close. My hand went past that driver's license, probably this close, at least 3 times. And I did not see it. Because in my mind, I knew it was not there. And how many times do we pass by God, or pass by something God wants to do, something God wants to show us, a way he wants to reveal something very important to us, but we know it can't be. There's just no way that can happen. He can't be there. You know, there was a story, and if you remember last week, I shared a little bit about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was the pastor over in Nazi Germany during World War II. And the question that he constantly asked is, what is Jesus to you today? And see, I can block that out, that I can narrow that in, just as I did this driver's license, that it cannot be there. This is all Jesus can be to me today, is this. And I won't let him be something else, because I determined in my mind that it can't happen. There's a story in Gospel of John chapter 4 that Jesus told about a Samaritan woman who came to a well. Now, this woman was just doing her day. It was just going along the day. This wasn't any big deal. It wasn't something on the newspaper, something scheduled. It wasn't a national event. She was just going to go get water. Aren't we glad we got water? We can just go turn it on and stuff. She was just going to go get water. So she just goes to this water, and here's this guy sitting there. And that, to her, that's what it was. Some guy was sitting there. And she knew he was Jewish, probably because some of the way he's dressed and stuff, you know, and things. And so this guy was sitting there, and this guy asked her for a drink. This is what was going on in her life. This was just, she was just going through her regular life, and this guy asked her for a drink. And she was surprised, like, what are you talking to me for? Basically, that was it. Hey, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. What is this? You know, what are you talking to me? Well, you know, and And so she asked him that. And he basically goes to this conversation, and Jesus, this guy who is Jesus says, you know, well, you come to get this water. He goes, I got water. I got living water. And he goes, if you drink my water, you'll never be thirsty again. Now, at this point, she's not looking for a spiritual event. She's looking for a natural, great thing going on here. I mean, how would you like it to somebody says, hey, you come over here, you never have to go to the grocery store again. You're going to have everything you need. You know, you just open the refrigerator. There it is, buddy. And your cupboards are full and stuff. That's basically the concept she was thinking. It's like, hey, this is pretty good stuff, you know. And so he's going through that. And at this point, then Jesus, she begins to encounter who he is. Because he shares with her what we call word of knowledge. But he shares with her this information that the only way he knows that is because the Spirit of God reveals him. And he starts telling her about her life and who she's living with and stuff. And so now she's stepping into a new realm. She goes from the natural, like, what's in it for me? Which really, that's what, I don't care who you are. We all deal with that. From the beginning, from Adam and Eve, it's really, what's in it for me? That's really why Adam and Eve sinned. It was like, what's in it for me? And so we all deal with that, you know, being good steward, making sure we're watching that. But she stepped in to say, well, wait a minute. You knew that, and I perceive, well, this guy sitting here must be a prophet. And so Jesus, in the midst of this conversation, he begins to share with her about himself. So now she says this. She goes, sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. So she just opened the door. Really what she did is she opened the door to begin to think, maybe God's doing something here. Maybe there's something spiritual, something God is an encounter. What's going on here, God? She didn't know what was all happening. Here, the creator of the world, the Messiah, was sitting there talking to her. She had no clue. Just some guy. She knew he was a Jewish, and she knew that, okay, now this guy, he's got some connection with God. But she says this to him. She says, our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews claim that the place worship is in Jerusalem. In other words, she's saying, what I've been taught from my past experiences, from my upbringing, this is how I perceive God. That's what she was saying. And you know, that's the same thing with us. From what we were taught, from our upbringing, experiences, like Pastor Ron was sharing, whatever was written on that board, all this stuff, this is how we perceive God. And so from her perception of God, she was not seeing that here is the Messiah. Here is the creator of the world. Here is God himself in human form talking to you, but we could not see it because of our past, because of our upbringing, because of the way we perceive things. And so Jesus continued. You know, the thing is what Jesus was looking at was he was always motivated by love. And he didn't care if that person was Samaritan. He didn't care what they were. He didn't care if they were Islam. He didn't care if they were Mormon. He didn't care what they were. He was looking at their destiny and purpose in life. For God so loved the world. For Jesus came to set us free, to set the captives free. He was on his life mission. His life mission was not to come and sort people out based on their nationality or race or gender or any of that kind of stuff. His life mission was to set the captives free and preach good news to the poor. That's what he was coming for. And so he continues to share with this woman. And in the midst of this, hold on. In the midst of this, he begins to reveal to her even more. He says, you Samaritans worship what you don't know. He tells her this. He says, the Jews, we worship what we do know to a point, so at least they're in the right direction. And then he says this. He says, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. Now, what he was saying is, now is the time come. In other words, it's because Jesus was there. The purpose of Jesus is to reveal God to us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know who he is. And then the woman said this. Now, still, she, Jesus told her this. He says, the woman said, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. So she had faith that God, the Messiah, was coming. But in her mind, she knew exactly what he was going to look like. And you're not him. You know, there's some guy sitting at some well, you know, some sitting out here. He says, you're not the Messiah. You can't be. And again, God, on our behalf, do we miss it sometimes? Because we don't see him? Because it's not the way we think it should be? You're not him. This is not God. God, you can't be in that. God, you're not going to do it that way, or you're not going to answer that prayer. You're not going to. And yet he was right there, still waiting, because he's a good shepherd. And then he said, then Jesus declared, I the one, after she just said that, you're not, he says, I the one speaking to you am he. You know, are there areas in our life that we need to hear God say that? That we need to hear him say, when we're saying, you're not the Messiah, you're not the Messiah, you're not the anointed one, you're not the Savior. You know, it's, yes, God so loved the world, but you know who the world's made up of? You and me. So God so loved you, he so loved me. He came to save you, he came to save me. His promises are for you, his promises are for me. And so this whole thing of when he says this, he says, I am he. He's saying that for us. There are those areas in our life that we need a Messiah. Not just saving us from our sin, and that's, of course, that's vital, but saving us, bringing out salvation to us every day, that we can have that new life. You know, Jesus, as I shared a few weeks ago at Easter Sunday, he didn't just come to have us be forgiven for sins. He came so we can have forgiveness of sins and live a whole new life, a whole brand new life that he has for us, that he wants to reveal to us day after day after day. I just want to take a moment and take some time right now. If we need a time in our life, if you would just put your hand over your heart or however you want to do, we're going to just pray. There's areas that you need God to hear him say, I am he. Father, we welcome that. We welcome you, God, in every area of our life, that you are the Messiah. As you said, Lord, that you came to preach good news to the poor. Lord, we welcome in every heart this day that we would hear good news, where there's poorness there, where there's discouragement, there's not a sense of any echoing in our heart, God, of good news. We just welcome you to be I am he, that you would release good news in our heart. Hope, God, hope and dreams when we need to be set free, Lord. You said you came to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted and comfort those who mourn. We just welcome that this morning, that you are the I am he in our lives. We thank you, Father. You know, how many of you ever bought something new, like a car or a jacket or something, and all of a sudden you started noticing other people had that? You ever had that happen? It's like before that, you never even pay attention to that. And now all of a sudden you see them like, whoa, there's one there. There's one. Well, they're all over the place. And before that, you didn't even see them. Well, you know, there's this thing inside of our brain that God created. It's called this, it's called a reticular activating system. And basically what this does in our brain is it helps us pay attention. It helps us pay attention to things that are going on. Life, you know, it's like this. If you were at an airport, and you know, airports, they got all these things going on and people talking and announcement, but all of a sudden if you heard your name, you would hear it above all that noise. Or if you're someplace and, you know, if you're walking by, let's say there's a particular topic you're fond of, you know, like, you know, whatever it is, some particular topic, and all of a sudden you hear somebody say that. You could walk by hundreds of people, hundreds of groups, never pay attention to that, and you hear that. It just, it's like, huh. It just, there's something that God made us. And that's good, because there's things that we pay attention to that he's put inside of us, things we should pay attention to that we need to notice. But in our spirit, how do we activate that with God? How do we activate that? And it's a control mechanism so that you're not going crazy either, that you're not paying attention to everything. It's what's important. But how do we do that with God? How do we activate that attention spiritually to Him? Well, basically, it's a free choice. God's not going to force you to pay attention to Him. And once we start paying attention to Him and start listening to Him, then there's something in our heart, those things become valuable, and that activation of our spirit, we start listening. You know, the Bible says, and we think, well, how do I know what's God and not God? Well, in Hebrews 4:12, it says this. It says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart." One of the main ways, if you want to discern what is God doing, what's God saying, and if it's God, the main way is the scriptures. It's going in here and saying, you know, well, but what if it's not exactly in there? You know, there's this term, adelphia, I think it is, adelphia, whatever it is. It's basically things that are non-essential. So in other words, in Greek or in theology, there's this in church history and leadership, is these are the important things, and these are things that not so important. I heard Tom Milligan sharing today in his class, you know, does God care what color pants you wear today? What ice cream you choose? I mean, these aren't essential. There's nothing, there's no commandments in there saying that. There's basic foundations, and there's these things that God just gives us that freedom. So how do we know? We listen to the Word. It's important we listen to the Holy Spirit. It's important we have others. But what if you get to a point where it's like, I still don't know. How do I know this is God? How do I know it's not God? Well, usually what I encourage is the way you do that is you step closer to it. You know, if you're not sure what's God's will, and you know, it's not really in here, but it's not something, I mean, I'm not going to be lying or killing somebody or cheating or something like that, you know, but I'm not sure, then usually I say you talk to people, you listen to the Holy Spirit, you listen to the Word of God. If you're still not sure, step toward it. And it's sort of like the light, you know, as you keep getting closer into the light, it's going to get brighter, and you're going to know, is this God or is this not God? There is that point in time, but you may not know it all. And that's when you have to rely on the fact that we serve a good God. He is a good shepherd. And He's not going to go, you blew it that time, you're out. No, He is sovereign. So whatever goes on in our life, whatever, you know, I was sharing with somebody the other day, I said, you know, He might have needed you to get out here, but that's only so He can see that you're really right now supposed to turn this direction. And you would never turn that direction unless you would have got out this far. So it's just the fact that we stay pliable with Him. So this whole thing of loving God, what does it look like? What does it actually look like? You say, love God. Well, what's that mean? Do you know in the gospel, and there's a book in the Bible, it's called 1 John. It's like next to the next few last books of the scriptures. And there's five chapters. But those five chapters use the word love more than any other book in the Bible except for Psalms, and Psalms has 150 chapters. So these five chapters talk about love. And in there, He defines this is what love is. But first He says, let me give you an example of love. It says this, 1 John 3 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." God set the example. God's not going to be, He's not a hypocrite. He's not going to stand up here and ask us to do something. He's not. He is that. I don't know if you remember, I think I shared it here once. We used to have the elders set up here. We take turns, and we had the elders set up here, and we had a guest speaker one Sunday, Justin Cornwall. Some of you might remember him. And he was sitting up here, and he asked everybody, he goes, "How many of you came to God because you loved Him?" So I had my hand up. He goes, "You're a liar." I go, "Oops." Now, he was looking that way. I was behind him. I thought, oh, okay. And he said, He said, because he goes, nobody can come to God unless God loves them first. Nobody comes just on their own. You don't really come to him unless he draws you. I thought, okay, I'm not putting my hand up. I'm not answering another question. You answer. And so, anyways, if we could have our musicians come back up. Jesus said, you know, in this section of 1 John, it says, and so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Does that sound familiar? I'm going to say that again. And so we know and rely on the love of God that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in God and God in him. Jesus said in John, Gospel of John, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now we'll go back. We just realize what Jesus said. That he said there's only two commands we have to keep. So what is that? How do you do that? How do we love God? You know, the Bible, there's so many answers in here. If we want the promise, you have a promise from God. It says, seek and you will find, ask, it'll be given, knock, the door will be open. If you don't know how to do something and you don't know, I mean, I'm talking things from how to raise your kid, how to be a good husband, how to be a wife, how to do a good worker. And you say, well, God, I read your scripture, I'm just not sure. Keep seeking. Keep asking. He will show you. I don't know how many times when the girls, our girls were little, were raising them, that he would just, I knew, God, I want to be a good father. I want to raise them in the things of you, but how? I know I'm messing up here. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to reach them this way or how to connect. How? And some way, he will bring that answer. It could be something fly across the radio. It could be something on TV. It could be somebody, I hear somebody. Doesn't have to be a Christian. God uses everything. You know, it could be all kinds of stuff that he shows us that. But this is what he says. He says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions of truth. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given this command, anyone who loves God must also love his brother or sister. Then he says this. He says, So what's that look like? This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God, carrying his commands. And there's this intertwining here. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And Angie, can you put the next one up here? And it says this, and his commands are not burdensome. Can you say that with me? And his commands are not burdensome. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had times when it's been burdensome. All of a sudden, I think, okay, I'm not doing this. I mess up here. I'm not doing this as God told me. I'm not doing this. And it feels like, whoa, this is burdensome. Have you ever felt that way? I mean, life can feel burdensome. You ever felt burdensome by life itself? And he's saying, but his commands are not burdensome. Why not? I mean, why? Because, again, it's how we see God. You know, if I was walking, or somebody, I was hanging out with somebody, and we're just going on, we're going to do stuff together. It's not burdensome. We're just doing stuff together. That's what it means. It means that we're just walking with God. And we're in relationship with him, and we're not looking at, well, God, you know, thank you. You know, I'm glad you saved me. Now I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to look at all these rules and commands and see, we just disconnected. That's going to be burdensome. Where we think, okay, God, what are we going to do today? Where are we going to go? What's your will? Listen, I'm going to listen to you, God. I'm going to listen to your spirit. I'm going to listen to your people. I'm going to listen to your word. I'm going to connect to you. That's why it's not burdensome. When I'm walking, Jesus didn't say, I'm going to get the Bible out. I'm going to read it every day and everything. He goes, I do what I see the Father doing. That's what Jesus said. That's how Jesus loved the Father. I walk with him. I live with him. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to fulfill those two commandments, is that we walk with him, we live with him, because his commands are not burdensome, because it's a relationship. If we could go ahead and stand, please. In that section of scripture in Gospel of John, Jesus said, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. The whole thing that Jesus came that we could have life and life to the fullest, and he wants us to have that joy. So we're just going to welcome this day again for God to help us see him, but not just help us see him, but also that our joy can be complete. If our personal ministry team could come on up front here, these ones that'll be up here they're here to pray with you about whatever you like prayer for. If you've never made a personal commitment to Christ, that's the first step in loving God. Saying, God, I want to receive what you've done for me. I want to receive your salvation and the forgiveness of sin and this resurrection life. These ones can pray with you about that. But we're going to pray together. And the two things we're going to pray about is, one, that we see God in a healthy way. That we take off any blinders or any preconceptions, and that we see him in a healthy way. But two, that we receive this joy. The Christian life has joy in it. And I was working at a company one time, and I was walking in, and I thought, what kind of witness am I? As Jim was sharing, what kind of witness am I? Lord, are you coming? Do people see you in me? And I thought, you know, God, I got to get my attitude right here. I got to hear you. I got to see you in the right way, because my perceptions mess up here. And he did. He helped me to start seeing what a Christian life was really like. So we're going to pray and just welcome for that. So if you're willing to receive that, let's pray together. So, Father, we just welcome you this day, that you would help us, Lord. Lord, from even things in our past, as we heard the Samaritan woman share about our ancestors, Lord, that we thank you for family, we thank you for traditions. But God, in any way that's hindering us from seeing you, we just welcome you to open our hearts, open our eyes, God. We can see you in a healthy way. God, we ask that you help us know how to love. Lord, we see things all over on the media and hear songs and all that about love. But Lord, we want your love, not the world's love, God. But we want to know what your love is like and to live in that love, because your commands are not burdensome, God, because your command is to love. Lord, you could have said all kinds of stuff. You could have said to work for the Lord your God with all your heart, God, to give or to follow. But Lord, you said to love. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to love you and help us to love one another. And Lord, we also welcome the joy of you, God. Lord, even this day, God, your joy is not based on our works, how good we are, what a great life we live this week, how much faith we have, but it's all because of Jesus and the grace we have in him. We welcome that joy of you, God, released to us. We thank you, God. We thank you for your love for us, that you set that example. You first love us, Lord, even while we were sinners, God. Even when we still mess up and sin, God, you love us, because that's who you are. We welcome your blessing in Jesus' name.